The Enterprise orbits an orange planet. In the transporter room, Kirk is with McCoy.
You'll enjoy Commodore Travers. He sets a good table.
I wonder if he brought his personal chef along with him to Cestus 3.
Probably. Rank hath its privileges.
How well we both know that, huh?
Kelly?
Kirk here.
Travers, Jim. We're waiting.
Good, Commodore. We're on our way.
Be sure to bring along your tactical people. I've got an interesting problem for them.
We'll beam down immediately, Commodore. Kirk out.
Captain.
I wonder why he's so insistent that our tactical aides come down.
This colony is isolated, exposed, out on the edge of nowhere. He probably wants additional advice.
Perhaps, Captain, but nevertheless, I...
Spock, isn't it enough the Commodore is famous for his hospitality? I, for one, could use a good non-reconstituted meal.
Doctor, you are a sensualist.
You bet your pointed ears I am. Ready whenever you are, Captain.
They step onto the pads, along with Lieutenant Commander Lang, Ensign Herlihy, and Lieutenant Kelevitz.
Energize.
They beam down onto Cestus 3 amidst the ruins of an outpost. The landing party draw their phasers, and Kirk reaches for his communicator.
Kirk to Enterprise. Red alert.
What is it, Captain?
Cestus 3 has been destroyed.
The ground is scorched and smoke rises from ruined buildings.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Starring William Shatner, also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. Arena.
Full alert. Tricorder readings, Mr. Spock. Life detection.
Those messages we got, Captain. The one directing us here yesterday.
Faked. All this happened several days ago. Lang, over there. Look for survivors. Kelowitz, that way. Herlihy, stick with me.
Captain, impulse is that direction. Very weak, possibly a survivor.
Come on, Bones. Captain's log, stardate 3045.6. The Enterprise has responded to a call from Earth Observation Outpost on Cestus 3. On landing, we have discovered that the outpost has been destroyed.
Captain, over there!
McCoy points to an injured, disheveled man lying amongst some wreckage. They race to the man's side, and McCoy scans his injuries. O'Herlihy has his phaser drawn.
Careful.
Shock, radiation burns, internal injuries for certain. He's in a bad way, Captain.
Keep him alive, Bones. I want to know what's been happening here.
Getting another life reading, Captain.
Survivors?
Not survivors. Not warm-blooded. Living creatures, but not human.
Where?
Azimuth 93 degrees, range 1570 yards.
Earlier.
Red-shirted O'Herlihy moves to an advanced position to survey the wrecked outpost.
Captain, I see something!
O'Herlihy glows red and disintegrates. Shells fall. Kirk and Spock scamper to the spot where O'Herlihy was killed.
Kirk to Enterprise. Lock on transporters. Beam us up.
Captain, we're coming under attack. Unidentified, should quartering in.
We can't beam you up. I've just rigged up defensive screens.
Keep those screens up. Fire all phasers.
Firing phasers, Captain.
Red phaser beams shoot out from beneath the hull.
The alien has screens up, too.
Take all action necessary to protect the ship. We'll hold out here.
Are you under attack, Captain?
We could drop screens.
Keep those screens up. Worry about us when the ship is safe.
Kirk out.
If they lower those screens to beam us up, they'll be open to phaser attack.
Hopelessly outnumbered here, Captain. those disruptors versus our hand phasers.
We're stuck with it, Mr. Spark. We'll have to make do with what we've got.
A huge ball of flame and black smoke balloons into the air nearby. The landing party scurry for cover, carrying the injured man with them. They take shelter in the remains of a stone building that circles the open area where they landed.
Kellowitz, Lang, flank out. Lay down fire on coordinates Mr. Spock gave you. Even if you don't see him, keep your heads down.
Helpless down here. And the Enterprise...
Sulu's an experienced combat officer.
It's my shift, Mr. Spock. I should be there. I can't even get at them.
Nor can they at us at the moment. Not unless they move their original position, that intervening high ground.
You remember the layout of this place, the arsenal?
About 100 yards in that direction. But after an attack as thorough as this one...
I'll risk it.
Kirk breaks cover and slaloms through the debris. A shell lands near him, and he rolls across the dusty ground. He scuffles along on his knees and elbows like a commando and shelters behind some rocks and twisted metal.
Kirk here. Report.
Captain, are you all right?
Never mind about me. What about the ship?
We've returned fire with all phaser banks. Negative against this deflector screen.
I'm your photon torpedoes.
Aye, aye, sir. I'm photon torpedoes. Stand by.
Any identification on the attacking vessel?
No, sir. Doesn't correspond with any configuration we're familiar with.
We can't get visual contact. She's too far away.
Mr. Sulu, photon torpedoes locked on.
Photon torpedoes locked on, Captain.
Fire all banks.
All banks fire, sir.
Sulu. Sulu, our communications are being interfered with.
A shell lands near Kirk. He darts across open ground and somersaults into a crater.
I get this straight.
Do anything you think necessary to protect the ship. Leave orbit, maximum warp, anything. Clear?
Right. Clear, Captain, but you...
Never mind about me. Protect my ship.
Yes, sir. Photon torpedoes negative, Captain. I'm warping out of orbit.
Good. Contact me when you can. Kirk out.
Sulu obeys Kirk's orders and the Enterprise glides away from Cestus 3. Kirk scurries into a stone shelter. Spock takes off his tricorder and crouches next to McCoy, who's tending to the injured survivor.
How is he, Doctor?
He'll be dead in half an hour if we don't get him some decent care.
Spock takes a tricorder reading.
They're moving. I've got to get to the captain.
He breaks cover. Shells land either side of him, and he's knocked off his feet. He rolls into the crater where Kirk is setting up a grenade launcher he's found.
Locked onto the enemy, Captain. They're moving
toward the high ground.
They've locked onto my tricorder.
Spock lobs his smoldering tricorder, and it explodes like a grenade.
Very ingenious. They fed back my own impulses and built up an overload.
We'll see how ingenious they are. Hey, give me a hand with this grenade launcher.
Spock secures the launcher.
Lang!
Any word from the Enterprise?
Sulu's taking her out of orbit.
Kellowitz dives into the crater.
They got Lang, sir. Did you see them?
No, sir.
An evaluation, Mr. Kellowitz. Where do you think they are?
If I were them, I'd go to the high ground on the right. I make it 1,200 yards, azimuth 87.
Kirk adjusts the grenade launcher.
It's pretty close for one of these little jewels, Captain.
It'll be a lot closer for them. Stand clear.
Kellowitz and Spock scurry backwards. Kirk drops a blue spherical grenade into the launcher, then joins his men. The grenade is propelled towards the ridge and explodes in a burst of flames like a flower opening out its petals. Kirk, Spock, and Kellowitz look across at the ridge from the edge of the crater.
Kirk here.
Captain, the alien's withdrawing. She's at extreme range, but our sensors indicate she just activated her transporters.
Lock onto the alien, Mr. Sulu. I don't want to lose her.
Aye, aye, sir. Our screens are down. We can beam you up now, sir.
I want a search party of 30 medical personnel beamed down immediately to search for survivors. Notify the transporter room. Lock onto us. We're beaming up.
Aye, aye, sir.
Captain's log, supplement. We have beamed back to the Enterprise and immediately set out in pursuit of the alien vessel. It appears to be headed towards a largely unexplored section of the galaxy.
Can you tell me what happened?
Scanners reported a ship approaching. We get them now and then. They're all welcome to use our facilities. You know that.
Yes, sir.
They came in space normal speed, using our regular approach round, but they knocked out our phaser batteries with their first salvo. From then on, we were helpless. We weren't expecting anything. Why should we? We didn't have anything anyone would want.
Easy, easy.
They poured it on like phasers, only worse, whatever they were using. I tried to signal them. We called up, tried to surrender. We had women and children. I told them that. I begged them. They wouldn't listen. They didn't let up for a moment.
Kirk and Spock exchange a look.
Lieutenant, the Enterprise received two messages, ostensibly from Cestus III. One for the Enterprise to go there, and the other for myself and my tactical crew to beam down to the surface.
They hit us a full day before you got there, Captain. No messages came from us, Captain. Why did they do it? Why? Why did they do it?
McCoy joins the relay of concerned looks.
There has to be a reason. There has to be a reason.
It was a trap. Getting the Enterprise to come to Cestus III, getting us and our whole crew to come ashore.
Very clever. As to the reason?
The reason is crystal clear. The Enterprise is the only protection in this section of the Federation. Destroy the Enterprise, and everything is wide open.
You allude to invasion, Captain. Yet positive proof has not...
I have all the proof I need on Cestus III.
Not necessarily, sir. Several possible explanations come...
How can you explain a massacre like that? No, Mr. Spock. The threat is clear and immediate. Invasion.
Spock gravely looks down at the floor of Kirk's quarters.
Very well, then. If that's the case, you must make certain that the alien vessel never reaches its home base.
I intend to. If we can keep them in the dark as to our strength, they'll never dare move against us. Captain DeHalton.
Sulu here, sir.
Is the alien still making warp 5?
Affirmative, sir.
Initiate warp 6.
Affirmative, sir.
Overtake. Laser banks. Lock onto the enemy vessel. Stand by for firing orders. All hands, this is the captain. We are going into battle. All hands, battle stations. Red alert. I repeat, red alert. This is no drill. This is no drill.
Captain's log, stardate 3046.2. We are in hot pursuit of the alien vessel which destroyed the Earth outpost on Cestus III.
Mr. DePaul?
Yes, sir.
Position.
22.3 parsecs beyond latest chart limit, sir.
All scanners lock into computer banks. I want a complete record of this. Spot. What do we have on this general area?
Virtually nothing, Captain. No records of any explorations. There are rumors of certain strange signals on subspace channels. However, none has ever been recorded.
Anything on intelligent life forms?
Nothing specific, Captain. Unscientific rumors only, more like space legends.
Kirk steps down into the captain's chair.
Mr. Sulu, status alien vessel.
They must be aware we're after them, sir. They've gone to warp 6 also.
Kirk looks at the forward view screen, which shows a vast, empty starfield.
Warp factor 7.
Aye, aye, sir.
Kirk swivels his chair to look at Spock standing at his station.
Something the matter, Mr. Spock?
A sustained warp 7 speed will be dangerous, Captain.
Thank you, Mr. Spock. I mean to catch them.
We'll either catch them or we'll blow up, Captain. They may be faster than we are.
They'll have to prove it.
Spock steps down into the well and stands in front of Kirk, head bowed, looking like a schoolboy before a headmaster.
Yes, Mr. Spock.
You mean to destroy the alien ship, Captain?
Of course.
I thought perhaps the hot pursuit alone might be sufficient. Destruction may be unnecessary.
Colony Cestus III has been obliterated, Mr. Spock.
The destruction of the alien vessel will not help that colony, Jim.
If the aliens go unpunished, they'll be back, attacking other Federation installations.
I merely suggest that a regard for sentient
life... There's no time for that.
Kirk notices Uhura looking across at him. He gets up, circles his chair, and stands close to Spock.
It's a matter of policy. Out here, we're the only policemen around. And a crime has been committed. Do I make myself clear?
Very clear, Captain.
I'm delighted, Mr. Spock. Report, Mr. Sulu.
Alien ship maintaining interval, Captain. Now at warp 7.
Kirk stares at Sulu, then glances at Spock, who's standing ramrod straight. The captain leans against the con and looks at the oceans of emptiness in the forward view screen.
Warp factor 8.
A ripple of startled looks relays around the bridge.
Aye, aye, sir.
Kirk turns to the con and opens a channel.
Captain to phaser banks. All components at battle ready. All banks prime.
At phaser to bridge. Alert status. All weapons and operational ready.
Spock looks somber. The Enterprise powers through space. At the helm, an excited smile plays across Sulu's lips as he looks down at his console.
Captain?
Yes, Mr. Sulu.
Closing on target, sir. Good. Mr. DePaul?
Yes, sir.
Our position.
2279 PL, sir. Uncharted solar system at 2466 PM.
Is it on the alien's course?
No, sir. He sent it away from it.
Captain, sensors report we're being scanned.
By the alien ship?
No, sir. It's from that solar system ahead.
Any interference? Resistance?
No, sir. Just scanning beams. It's on an unusual wavelength.
Mr. Spock?
It would appear someone is curious about us.
Mr. Sulu, is the alien still heading away from that solar system?
Yes, sir. We're closing, sir.
Lieutenant Uhura, anything further on the scanning beams?
There's no hostility, sir. They're not tractors or weapons of any sort. Just increasing in intensity. Steady, regular. It's growing stronger, sir.
Captain?
Yes, what is it?
The alien. It's slowing down.
Warp 5, 4...
Two. It's going sublight, sir. Sir? It stopped dead in space.
He may be turning to fight.
No, sir. They're just dead out there.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir. Unmoving.
Then we've got them. Go to red alert. Prepare to fire phaser banks. Sensors, lock on. Mr. Sulu, continue closing. Mr. Spock, lock phasers into computer. Computer to a control attack.
Computer lock ready, Captain. All systems standing by.
Range is 1810. 1760. Range is 1700. 1640. Range is 1590. 1550. And closing, sir.
Warp 3. Warp 1. Sublight, Captain.
The darkened bridge rights itself, and the lights come back on.
We're stuck, Captain. It's impossible, but...
AG section, we're reading only 4.5 here. Can you confirm? Gravity is down to 0.8.
It's impossible.
Warp 8, have you lost your mind?
Same as the alien, Captain.
Engine room acknowledging. AG section acknowledging. AG
section is stable. Mr. Scott, report.
Dead, Captain. Locked up. Frozen tight. All propulsion systems read zero.
Life systems?
They're all normal, sir. Atmosphere, heat, light, no variance.
Phase banks. Report.
We're all inoperative here, Captain. No power at all. No faulty circuits I can find. Just no power.
Damage control, report.
All systems report normal, Captain. No ascertainable damage.
And what is it?
I don't know, sir. But whatever it is, we cannot move.
We're being held in place, Captain. A apparently from that solar system.
This far out, that's impossible.
We are being held.
Tractor beams?
No, sir. An unidentifiable power.
Spock looks up from his viewer that throws a letterbox of blue light over his angular features. Kirk frowns as he looks at the forward view screen. Kirk steps down into the well and heads for his chair. The bridge lighting flickers. A kaleidoscopic whirl of colored lights appears on the forward view screen.
We are the Metrons. You are one of two crafts which have come into our space on a mission of violence. This is not permissible. Yet we have analyzed you and have learned that your violent tendencies are inherent. So be it. We will control them. We will resolve your conflict in the way most suited to your limited mentalities. Captain James Kirk.
This is Kirk.
We have prepared a planet with a suitable atmosphere. You will be taken there, as will the captain of the Gorn ship which you have been pursuing. There you will settle your dispute.
I don't understand.
You will be provided with a recording translating device, in hopes that a chronicle of this contest will serve to dissuade others of your kind from entering our system. But you will not be permitted to communicate with your ship. You will each be totally alone.
What makes you think you can interfere?
It is you who are interfering. We are simply putting a stop to it. The place we have prepared for you contains sufficient elements for either of you to construct weapons lethal enough to destroy the other, which seems to be your intention. The winner of the contest will be permitted to go his way unharmed. The loser, along with his ship, shall be destroyed in the interests of peace. The contest will be one of ingenuity against ingenuity, brute strength against brute strength. The results will be final. There will be no discussion. It is done.
Kirk vanishes.
He's gone.
Spock steps forward through the gloom and raises his sloping eyebrows at the forward view screen. In a barren, rocky environment, Kirk, wearing a portable device strapped to a belt, is facing a muscular reptilian creature on two legs that has sharp teeth and eyes like mirror balls.
The Enterprise is dead in space, stopped cold during her pursuit of an alien raider by mysterious forces. And I have been somehow whisked off the bridge and placed on the surface of an asteroid, facing the captain of the alien ship. Weaponless, I face the creature the Metrons called a Gorn. A large, reptilian, like most humans. I seem to have an instinctive revulsion to reptiles. I must fight to remember that this is an intelligent, highly advanced individual. The captain of a starship like myself. Undoubtedly, a dangerously clever opponent.
Kirk snaps a small branch off a dead tree as the Gorn advances with a long branch. The difference between the weapons is like that between a dagger and a sword. Kirk tosses his branch away, and the Gorn swings at him. Kirk hides behind the dead tree as the Gorn breaks his branch on it, then throws his improvised weapon aside. The Gorn moves sluggishly, like an elderly wrestler, as it swipes at Kirk with its mighty arms. Kirk is able to duck in plenty of time and land some blows. The Gorn blocks Kirk's kick and throws him to the ground. Kirk staggers to his feet and the lumbering Gorn grabs him in a bear hug. Kirk struggles in the Gorn's cold embrace as if trying to repel an unwanted kiss. He slaps his cupped hands over the Gorn's ear cavities. The creature reels back, clutching its head. Kirk clambers up a slope and grabs a rock the size of a football. He lifts the rock back behind his head as if taking a throw-in and launches it at the Gorn. The rock bounces harmlessly off the alien creature. Kirk catches his breath and stares at the Gorn lumbering towards him. The Gorn, which is also wearing an identical portable device strapped to its belt, picks up a boulder the size of an armchair and slowly raises it above its scaly head. It launches the boulder at Kirk. Kirk dodges the boulder, which comes at him like a meteorite falling from the sky. He turns tail and runs up a rocky hill. The Gorn slowly sets off after him. On the bridge of the Enterprise...
Have you tried overload?
Aye, sir. It does no good.
How about bypassing the transformer banks? Feed the impulse engines directly.
I tried that, sir. Nothing.
Lieutenant Uhura, have sensors learned anything about the nature of the force which holds us here?
No, sir. They report they definitely emanate from that solar system ahead.
No indication of its composition? Gravimetric, magnetic, electronic?
Nothing, sir.
Spock looks away gravely. On the asteroid, Kirk takes the portable device from his belt and talks into it.
This is Captain James Kirk of the Starship Enterprise. Whoever finds this, please get it to Starfleet Command. I'm engaged in personal combat with a creature apparently called a Gorn.
He's immensely strong. Already he has withstood attacks from me that would have killed a human being. Fortunately, though strong, he's not agile. The agility and, I hope, the cleverness is mine.
The Metrones, the creatures that sent us both here, said that the surface of the planet provides the raw material to construct weapons. There's very little here, scrub brush, rocks, an abundance of mineral deposits, but no weapons in the conventional sense. Still, I need to find one. Barehanded against the Gorn, I have no chance.
McCoy comes onto the Enterprise bridge.
Leave channel one open, Lieutenant, just in case.
Aye, aye, sir.
What are you going to do, Mr. Spock? I'm going to wait, Doctor. There's little else I can do.
What about the captain?
If I could help him, I would. I cannot.
Now, you're the one that's always talking about logic. What about some logic now? Where's the captain, Mr. Spock?
He's out there, Doctor. Out there somewhere in 1,000 cubic parsecs of space. And there's absolutely nothing we can do to help him.
McCoy looks at the forward view screen, a black canvas of space studded with tiny stars that glitter like diamonds. Kirk runs up a jagged, rocky hill. He stops to pick up a length of bamboo, holds it like a baseball bat, and clubs the ground with it. He throws it away, briefly tries out a broken branch, then continues on up the hill. Elsewhere, the Gorn is unfurling a rope-like vine down the side of a slope. The rope is attached to a large boulder. Kirk stops by a cluster of glittering stones the size of tennis balls. He picks one up and speaks into his cylindrical recording translating device.
A large deposit of diamonds on the surface, perhaps the hardest substance known in the universe. Beautifully crystallized and pointed, but too small to be useful as a weapon.
He picks up another, larger diamond.
An incredible fortune in stones. Yet I would trade them all for a hand phaser or a good solid club. Yet the Metrones said there would be weapons if I could find them. Where? What kind?
Kirk looks in the direction of the Gorn's growls, attaches the recording translating device to his belt, and scampers higher up the rocky hill. He stops and looks back, catching his breath, then looks up at the jagged peak ahead of him, and presses on. The Gorn is shaping a crude dagger from a piece of flint, using a large boulder as an anvil. Kirk looks down on him from the hill. Kirk spots a large boulder a short distance away, balanced precariously near the edge of a jagged ledge. He looks down at the Gorn, which is oblivious to the presence of its human adversary. Kirk clambers up the steep rock face to the boulder. Positioning himself behind the boulder, Kirk looks down at his target, then starts to push. His face strains with the effort as he nudges the rock closer to the edge of the ledge. The boulder inches slowly towards the edge, with the Gorn blissfully unaware of the movement above. The boulder rolls off the ledge and bounces towards the Gorn. Kirk peers over the edge of the ledge as dust rises like a passing cloud. The Gorn lies prone beneath the boulder. Kirk smiles and slowly scrambles to his feet. He slides, jumps, and scuttles down the craggy hillside. He stops in his tracks as he nears the Gorn. It grabs a flint dagger lying near its clawed hand. The Gorn slowly pushes off the boulder and stands. Kirk backs away and breaks into a sprint, looking back over his shoulder as he goes. He snags a vine tripwire between two rocky outcrops, and a boulder rolls down, trapping his legs. With a pained expression, Kirk struggles to free his legs as the Gorn lumbers into view. It bears down on Kirk with its flint dagger raised high above its head, ready to strike. The Gorn pulls away the boulder that's trapping Kirk's legs and lunges at him. But Kirk ducks out of the way of the flint dagger and staggers off, dragging his injured right leg. The Gorn lumbers slowly after him. On the bridge of the Enterprise.
This is the USS Enterprise calling the Metrones. Our channels are open. Come in, please.
McCoy, Uhura, and Sulu look anxiously at the forward view screen. Spock is standing behind the captain's chair. McCoy joins him. On the view screen is the starfield.
We urgently desire a conference. Please answer.
The view screen doesn't change. On the rocky asteroid, the Gorn is slowly pursuing its injured prey. Kirk stops to rest against a rocky slope streaked with yellow powder. He takes out the recording device.
This may be my last entry. I am almost exhausted. Unless I find the weapon the Metrone mentioned, I have very little time left.
The Gorn is nearby. Kirk dips his hand in the yellow powder.
Native sulfur, diamonds. This place is a mineralogist's dream. Yet, there is something about sulfur. Something very old, something... If only I could remember.
Kirk staggers away as the Gorn nears. Aboard the bridge of the Enterprise.
The ship, our engines, our weapons. It's just inconceivable that we are immobilized.
But it has happened, Doctor.
Spock sits in the captain's chair. The view screen starts swirling with the Metron's colored kaleidoscopic lights.
We are the Metrons. Your captain is losing his battle.
We would suggest you make whatever memorial arrangements, if any, which are customary in your culture. We believe you have very little time left.
We appeal to you in the name of civilization. Put a stop to this.
Your violent intent and actions demonstrate that you are not civilized. However, we are not without compassion. It is possible you may have feelings toward your captain. So that you will be able to prepare yourself, we will allow you to see and hear what is now transpiring.
The view screen shows the rocky terrain of the asteroid and the ungainly Gorn. Uhura puts a hand to her mouth in shock as McCoy, Scotty, and Spock watch gravely. Spock gets out of the captain's chair as the view screen shows Kirk collapsing.
If there were only some way we could contact him.
Yes, indeed, Doctor, if only there were. You notice the substance encrusting that rock.
Yes.
Unless I'm mistaken, it's potassium nitrate.
So?
Perhaps nothing, Doctor.
Kirk tastes the white powder and spits it out.
Perhaps everything.
As the Gorn gets closer, Kirk looks at the powdery potassium nitrate on the rocks around him and smiles. Watched by his anxious crew, Kirk runs out of the maze of rocks and across a plain.
Is this the Metron?
This is your opponent, Earthling. I have heard every word you have said.
All right, what do you want?
I weary of the chase. Wait for me. I shall be merciful and quick.
Like you were at Cestus 3?
You were intruding. You established outpost in our space.
You butchered helpless human beings.
We destroyed invaders as I shall destroy you.
Kirk replaces the recording translating device and staggers on.
Can that be true? Was Cestus 3 an intrusion on their space?
It may well be possible, Doctor. We know very little about that section of the galaxy.
Then we could be in the wrong.
Perhaps. That is something best decided by diplomats.
The Gorn simply might have been trying to protect themselves.
Yes.
Spock's sharp, slanting eyebrows crease with a frown as he watches Kirk limping across the rocks. The Gorn trudges relentlessly after him. He stops and picks up a stick that he quickly throws back down. He picks up a length of bamboo and throws that down too. He looks in a bush and finds a thicker piece of bamboo, like a short length of drain pipe.
Fascinating. Good. Good.
Spock watches as Kirk finds a length of rope-like vine. He cuts it by rubbing it along the edge of a rock.
He knows, Doctor. He has reasoned it out.
Kirk snaps the last thread of frayed vine and keeps the longer of the two pieces. Grabbing the tube of bamboo, which is roughly the length of his arm, he limps away. Clutching the flint dagger, the Gorn looks around as Kirk climbs back up to the white, powdery deposit.
Yes. Yes.
What is it, Spock?
Invention, Doctor. First potassium nitrate. And now, if he can find some sulfur and a charcoal deposit, or ordinary coal.
Kirk scoops the potassium nitrate into the length of bamboo. As the Gorn hunts him, Kirk staggers across the rocky terrain. He looks over his shoulder, clutching the bamboo close, as he limps back to the tennis ball-sized diamonds.
What's he doing?
Diamonds, the hardest known substance.
Impelled by sufficient force, they would make formidable projectiles.
What force?
Recall your basic chemistry, Doctor. Gunpowder.
Captain, let us be reasonable. You have lost. Admit it to yourself. Stop running.
The Gorn is talking to Kirk via his translating device. Kirk scoops some sulfur into the bamboo tube, then staggers away. He stops as he spots some small lumps of black rock in a crevasse. Spock is watching.
Cool.
Exhausted, Kirk limps towards the coal, falls to the ground, and gathers up some pieces. The Gorn slithers across a rock like a lizard. Kirk looks round for a spot to sit down and pours his ingredients out of the bamboo tube. The Gorn searches for him. Kirk breaks up the lumps of coal and uses a sharp stone to bore a small hole in the bamboo. Spock, watching on the Enterprise viewscreen, nods knowingly. Kirk carefully mixes the potassium nitrate, sulfur, and ground coal. He scoops the mixture into the bamboo tube.
Can you do it?
If he has the time, Doctor. If he has the time.
Kirk tests a stick on a rock. Alerted by the noise, the Gorn looks round. Kirk uses the stick to tamp the explosive mixture into the tube. He tears a small piece of material off his trousers, dips it in the sulfur, then drops some diamonds into the bamboo tube. Strikes the recording device against a piece of flint, holding it above the material. Sparks fly from the flint onto the material, and Kirk blows on it. Smoke rises from the improvised fuse. The Gorn bears down on Kirk from behind as he frantically tries to get the fuse to light. He looks round at the creature staggering towards him. He sets up the improvised cannon and aims it at his pursuer. He touches the fuse to the hole in the side of the bamboo. Kirk is knocked backwards by the force of the blast. The Gorn, lying injured, drops its flint dagger. Kirk scrambles to his feet and grabs the dagger. He holds it against the injured creature's chest like a stake, ready to drive home the killing blow.
No. No, I won't kill you. Maybe you thought you were protecting yourself when you attacked the outpost.
Kirk looks up. He throws the dagger aside and gets to his feet.
No, I won't kill him. Do you hear? You'll have to get your entertainment someplace else.
He looks across at the prone Gorn, and it disappears as suddenly as Kirk vanished from the bridge of the Enterprise. A short distance away, a slim, blonde man in a long, glittering, sleeveless gown appears.
You're a Metron?
Does my appearance surprise you, Captain?
You seem more like a boy.
I am approximately 1,500 of your Earth years old. You surprise me, Captain.
How?
By sparing your helpless enemy, who surely would have destroyed you. You demonstrated the advanced trait of mercy. Something we hardly expected. We feel that there may be hope for your kind. Therefore, you will not be destroyed. It would not be civilized.
What happened to the Gorn?
I sent him back to his ship, If you like, I shall destroy him for you.
No, that won't be necessary. We can talk. Maybe reach an agreement.
Very good, Captain. There is hope for you. Perhaps in several thousand years, your people and mine shall meet to reach an agreement. You are still half savage, but there is hope. We will contact you when we are ready.
The Metron disappears. Kirk appears on the bridge of the Enterprise.
Captain, are you all right?
I don't know. All right, everybody, back to your posts. Let's get out of here.
The crew break from their huddle around the con and get back to their stations. Kirk settles into his chair with McCoy behind him and Spock at his side.
Captain?
Mr. Sulu?
It's impossible, but there's Sirius over there when it should be here. And Canopus? And Arcanus? We're... all of a sudden, we're clear across the galaxy. 500 parsecs from where we are.
Don't try and figure it out, Mr. Sulu. Just plot a course for us back to Cestus 3.
Aye, aye, sir.
McCoy puts a hand on Kirk's shoulder and smiles at him, then leaves the bridge.
After you touched off your primitive cannon, Captain, we lost the picture the Metron was sending us.
You saw what happened down there?
Most of it. I would be interested in knowing what finally happened.
We're a most promising species, Mr. Spock, as predators go. Did you know that?
I've frequently had my doubts.
I don't. Not anymore. And maybe in 1,000 years or so, we'll be able to prove it. Never mind, Mr. Spock. Doesn't make much sense to me either. Take us back to where we're supposed to be, Mr. Sulu. Warp factor one.
Warp factor one.
1,000 years, Captain.
Well, that gives us a little time.
He smiles at Spock, and they both turn to face the forward view screen as the Enterprise heads back across the galaxy. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.